talking about school, I wanted to share with you that our daughter Beth couldn't wait to retire from Whitney Point School District, and she did that in June. And then she went right out and got a job with the Whitney Point School District. Go figure. Hear the words of the Apostle Paul. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light.
I read this week about a Franciscan nun, a Seneca elder, whose name was Sister Jose Habde. Her ministry was in the southwestern part of the United States. And the person who was writing described her, said she was the most John the Baptist person he ever encountered, because she would travel around speaking to different indigenous communities across the Southwest in her dusty Jeep with her sandals and her Franciscan habit. But when she would speak, the first thing she would always do, she would just step up in front of the group and go, "Wake up!" And then she'd walk a little closer and do it again, "Wake up!" Sister Jose wanted to get people's attention, to call them to wake up to the presence of God in their lives, available here, now, for all of us. We may connect passages like those words that Rich just read from Paul, talking about the hour already come, the salvation near at hand, and we may think, oh, that's Advent stuff. That's about Jesus coming back someday, somewhere. And yes, the early church did get pretty fixated on Jesus coming back soon, because they were living under oppression and persecution, and they still had those messianic hopes that the Messiah was going to come. And so they hoped Jesus was going to fulfill that for the kingdom of Israel, to free them from Roman occupation. And yet 2,000 years later, we live in a bit of a different reality, do we not? And so I think when we come to these passages, the call to wake up actually attunes with a lot of what Jesus said in his ministry. Wake up to now. Wake up to God. Wake up to the Spirit at work in us, among us, all the time. God around us in everything, shimmering in all that lives and moves and has being. And the call to us is stop sleeping. Wake up. Paul was writing to those first century Romans, urging them to wake up. To wake up to what? To wake up to God's love and to their call to live in love. It's really, really simple, isn't it? All of it, Jesus said, it all adds up. Love God with everything you are and love your neighbor as yourself. Simple and hard. Hard work. It's not easy to love everyone. It's easy to love in sort of the nice abstract way. Yeah, I love the world. I love all people. But as I said earlier this summer, then there's that neighbor down the road whose name is Joe. I do not find Joe easy to love. You know, there's the people in my family that do things that drive me crazy, and I do not always find them easy to love. Love is not just about the feeling of love, is it? Love is about, and it's not just something we can will ourselves to do. Love is about commitment and intentionality. It's about discipline, actually. It's about waking up every day and choosing again to love. And sometimes that flows so gracefully, and other times it's like, oh, this is a slog. How do I live in loving ways with the people in my immediate life, in my world? I've been reading this summer, not just reading, I've been working with this summer a book by Gary Chapman, The Five Languages of Love. How many of you are familiar with this idea of five love languages? Yeah, some of you? So let's remember what they are, if you remember, and if you haven't heard of them, I'll go over them. Words of affirmation. Well, first, the idea is that we have different ways we express and that we experience love, shaped by our temperament, shaped by our families. And so the idea would be that we have these different love languages and that they don't all work for all of us equally. So you might, Josie, be doing the most loving thing you can imagine, and I might not get it at all. I might not feel one bit loved by what you did, right? That's the idea. And so the idea is when we're in relationship with somebody else, I mean, the book's written for marriage, for spouses, you know, those kind of relationships, but it applies across all sorts of relationships. That the real work of loving is figuring out what your love language is and then trying to love you in a way that you can receive it. And also that when we're in relationship with each other, the work of loving is me letting you know what my love language is and what I need to feel loved. It's a two-way. It's back and forth. And it's learning to speak the second and third language, not our first language, in order to be in a relationship of love. So here's the five love languages that Chapman puts out there. Words of affirmation. You did a great job. I really like it when you but also kind words, finding a kind ways to say and affirm and then say, but I would really appreciate it if you would, not as a demand, but as a request, right? That's what he's talking about in terms of how we use our words with each other to build each other up, to help us understand each other better. Words of affirmation. Physical touch. Obviously, there's the intimate kind of physical touch that happens in a marriage or in a dating relationship, but all sorts of other kind of physical touch. And I've realized that's one of my love languages, and I've realized I've gotten really comfortable with some of you. So I want to say, if I ever touch you on the shoulder or do something like that and you don't like it, please tell me, because I don't mean it as anything other than just a gesture of love and connection. But I know I try to be sensitive to that. I've never forgotten when my son was about 3 and I'd gone to some workshop. I don't remember the specifics of it, but I came home to my 3 or 4-year-old and said, because I was thinking about it on the way home, I said, Luke, do I ever try to hug you when you don't want to be hugged? All the time. Okay. Not his first love language. Need to be way more careful about when I tried to hug Luke. And I should have known. He was that way as a baby. He didn't want to snuggle. He wanted to be one of those things looking out at the world, you know, from the time he was tiny. So not his first love language. Not that he never wants a hug, but learning to ask, learning to make sure it's the right time. Giving and receiving gifts. So this is my mother-in-law. She's fabulous, And now in her dementia, she's so distressed, it comes up quite regularly that she still wants to be able to do gifts and send the birthday cards and send the anniversary cards. And of course, she can't remember them anymore. And her daughter, who's really not that way, just says, "Mom, we'll just send everybody a check once a year." But of course, that doesn't satisfy Helen at all, because Helen, you know, she wants the gift. She wants to give. And she remembers all, she used to remember all the dates, and she loved it. And I was a total failure compared to her, right? I could never measure up, because that's really not my number one thing. Gift, giving and receiving gifts. Acts of service. Some of you are big on this. Acts of service, doing things to serve others, to help others, to show care for others. And again, in the terms of the relationship, if that's one of our primary love languages and the other person doesn't do it or doesn't even notice it or say thanks for doing it, we can feel really frustrated. So it's a two-way thing. And then quality time, focused attention, emotional connecting. And my family has added a sixth love language, because we feel like these don't quite capture one of the big ones in our family, which is shared activities, doing things together. That could be everything from watching a sporting event together, or going for a walk together, or even work around the house can be a shared activity, depending on how you're seeing it and approaching it. And it can also be that some people just want to do it together. They don't really care what it is. And one of the things I learned about my son as he got older was, you know, throw the ball, tag around behind him in the woods when he wanted to take his camera out. I mean, those were things that were his love language, shared activities. So, I think Jesus' challenge, Paul's challenge to all of us, is gets into the nitty-gritty of these kinds of ways of being loving, right? It's not the abstract. It's the very concrete, the very everyday, the very reciprocity of the give and take, of trying to figure out how do I need, what do I want, and what do you need, and what do you want, and how do we meet each other? How do we respond to each other's needs in a way that ends up helping us all feel truly loved and valued? So that's my dose of practical advice from your pastor. Work on it. You probably already do. But then today's gospel reading in Matthew 18 adds another whole layer of practicality, because it talks about when the relationships hit conflict, when you're not getting along, when you're disagreeing, when you feel like someone has sinned against you, done something that's hurt your feeling, made you angry. And Jesus says, go. The language is interesting. Point out the fault. Well, that might not go over so well. But go and share your sense of what happened. Let them know your feeling. And it says start with just the two of you, one-to-one. Try to work it out. And then if that doesn't work, get some help. Get a mediator. And eventually it kind of works up the chain of how we have to work that out in community. Some of us get regular emails from a blog site called Unfolding Light by Steve Garnes Holmes, who does several reflections every week on the lectionary. And I thought his reflection on this bit was particularly pointed. If someone sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. Talk with people, not about them. Don't underestimate the power of this challenge. To do this, you stand on your own legs. You renounce having others speak for you. You take responsibility for your feelings and don't sublet them for another to control. You honor your heart. your experience and its integrity. You rely on God's grace rather than on your own comfort. You trust your worth regardless of the other's reaction. You trust your belovedness regardless of the other's discomfort. You free yourself from imagining that you can manage another person's discomfort. Knowing your dignity is untouched, you subject it to your love. You express your love for them by not shielding them from the truth. You respect them by not speaking ill of them to others. You go to where you know you may have to forgive, and you open yourself to hearing how you also have sinned. You open the door to reconciliation, which opens no other way. To be so honest, so forthright, gently but clearly, you are transparent to the gospel. You are free and not afraid. You are light and not shadow. This kind of love takes work. It takes knowing who we are, grounding ourselves in our faith and trust in God's love for us. It takes believing that God loves us just exactly as we are, and then daring to risk open, honest, truthful, loving. It takes courage and being fully awake to see ourselves truthfully, to see another people honestly, to be able to see the pain and brokenness of our whole world and still dare to open ourselves up for love. Some of you may remember a body prayer I shared at the All Church Retreat and at least once in adult education. Something I learned last summer at a wisdom retreat, and somehow it seems to fit. Can't do it behind the pulpit. So it goes like this. Here I am, as I am, in the world as it is. Floating in the universe, awake to my present state of being. Wake up. There is love all around us. Amen.